Hello.
Hello?
Is this thing on?
Oh, my God. Hello?
I can hear you, man.
Okay, great.
I heard you all along.
Yeah, no, I couldn't hear you, though, because my headphones, among the many problems my computer's having, the headphone jack isn't working.
Hmm, that's wonderful.
You know what? You know what my computer is? My computer is the Mets. Like, it started off great. Like, we thought this was going to be a real winner. And over the last few months, it has deteriorated down to just a steaming pile of absolute garbage.
So, yeah, steaming pile of electronic worthlessness.
Look, I'm not one of those people that complains about technology too much, because I do understand, like, the miracle of everything that we have, the super processor computer that fits in my hand, that I can look up information about anything at any time. I admire it. But at the same time, like, maybe we could get the apps to load a little faster. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I could not lose that Wi-Fi connection for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, I was in the market for a new tablet, and I actually got the Amazon Fire 8. What a piece of junk. So that's going back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, they have a pretty liberal return policy.
Yeah, they do. They'll take anything. No, but I just got it yesterday. I just kind of played around with it a little bit yesterday, and I'm like, no, this isn't for me. So folks out there considering the Amazon Fire 8, I wouldn't give it a ringing endorsement unless you're an Amazon devotee.
Speaking of unadvertisements on our program and killing off prospective financial streams for us, I got the Super Nintendo Classic System.
Ooh.
And it is good for about 1 hour of fun.
What happens?
Well, it's like, wow, look at all these retro games with the pixelated, and then it's just like, all right, yeah. No, I already beat all these games when I was 10 or whatever.
Right. We should probably warn our listeners that today could be fraught with technical difficulties.
Yeah. Yeah. The computer, the Mets computer that I have, not surprisingly, in New York, it's all on me, too. Like, normally all the problems that we have are from John, like all of them. But today it is definitely me. And as the old saying goes, it's not you, it's me.
Right. But we'll struggle through it.
You know what the expression should be? It should be, it's not you, it's me not liking you.
Right. There you go. That's good. So all you listeners out there considering a breakup.
Try that one.
Try that one. That might work out for you.
Here's the thing about a breakup. Why break up amicably? As Coughlin says in the movie Cocktail, everything ends badly. Otherwise, it wouldn't end.
Wow.
Yeah, think
That's
about
profound.
It. Then he committed suicide.
I guess that did end badly.
Well, he was proving his point, I think.
Okay.
I mean, it's a little bit biased data point, technically, because he sort of like makes the hypothesis and then proves it.
Hmm.
But it's like, well, would he have proved it if he hadn't made the hypothesis? I don't know.
Probably.
We'll never know. Maybe in the sequel to Cocktail?
Which is coming out after the new Mission Impossible.
You know what? As far as I'm concerned, he can just keep turning out Mission Impossible sequels. I'm so excited about this movie. It
yeah,
looks
I'm looking
awesome.
Forward to it. I'm going to see it this weekend.
Yeah.
My official final acts before we skip town.
What do you do about the Star Wars movies when you're out of town, John?
I will fly in for those. I probably
well,
will.
Fortunately, Disney has decided to put a couple of them
on hold
as they
while,
figure
yeah.
out
the side stories or
why people aren't watching these terrible movies.
Well, it's are they ODing on Star Wars or do they really don't care about the side stories?
No, they're ODing on bad stories. Like, have you seen the YouTube breakdowns on Last Jedi?
Mm-mm.
Like, it's embarrassing.
Mm-mm.
Like, filmmaking wise, it's embarrassing. Storytelling wise, it's embarrassing what goes on in that film.
I thought it was good.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't like a delightful thing. You switch your brain off and whatever. I'm just saying the storytelling itself is very poor. And at a certain impact into the marketplace, that does have an effect.
Yeah.
Because people aren't going back to see it again. And people aren't telling their friends to go see it. And people are vomiting into buckets.
So we should we start talking about some baseball?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is episode 73.
Okay.
Of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the Ricardo Rincon episode 73.
Oh.
Not too many 73s out
nice.
There.
Nice. Ricardo Rincon as featured in the movie Moneyball, which, John, keeps moving up my top 10 list.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I you know, I've seen it now, gosh, I don't know, almost 20 times.
Really?
Yeah, maybe 18 times.
That's a lot.
No, it's a lot, John.
I think I've seen it twice.
It's got a real nice rewatchability. It's got a mm-hmm. real nice vibe, like you can pick it up at any time.
Are you one of those folks that if it's on TV, you'll 20 minutes in, you'll pick it up and... Yeah.
To me, a great movie is like an album. It doesn't matter where you pick up
on the
album. It's like, well, that's a great song, too. So I'm going to listen to that.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk some baseball. It's this week's headlines.
Tons oh, right. Back of, to baseball. Another thing about Interstellar, John.
Tons of trade activity.
Yeah, lots
things
of
are happening.
Yeah, especially with the pitching market. We said this was going to happen, John.
Some people are getting, I guess the biggest trade from a criticism perspective was the Familia, Juris Familia trade to the Athletics. Some GMs were saying, how come they didn't even give us a chance to counter?
Right.
So that's been getting tons of negative play in the review space.
Are you telling me the Mets did something?
The steaming pile of Mets?
The steaming pile of Mets did something questionable? Yeah. The rumor about the Mets is that basically they kind of have like three different GMs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's only one general manager, and I don't know any of their names, and I don't care. But there's three different people you can make a deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And out there trying to make
deals.
Depends
on who you're calling at a particular time.
Hopefully none of them are like the receptionist. And certainly none of them are involved in ticket sales.
Right. It's amazing how things could go so bad so fast when there was high expectations because pitching was healthy at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and then it's just and now there's these rumors. Syndergaard is Syndergaard to the Padres, Syndergaard to the Brewers. Now, like, well, hold on a second. First of all, Syndergaard has this weird disease going on where it basically has anthrax, am I understand this correctly? Has got a hand, foot, and mouth disease?
Like, I didn't know that anthrax? Was still a thing. I had no idea that was still a thing. I thought that was
we handled that with polio.
right. I thought that was something from like the 18th century.
Yeah, it's like very classic Mets though, right? Like, you know, Jacob deGrom misses a start because of dysentery. The Mets are the Oregon Trail of...
Right. They are.
Of baseball teams.
That's so funny. So a couple of other trades.
Yeah.
Zach Britton to the Yankees.
Yeah, now this was confusing because I guess what their plan is just have an okay starting pitcher start a playoff game.
Seems that's what they're doing.
And then go Britton, Robertson, who's the other guy? Chapman and Chad Green and... Dylan Betances, yes.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's the plan? Like, they don't... They already have, like, the best bullpen in baseball, and they need starting pitching. Why didn't they get Eovaldi? And you know what? Who needs relief pitching is the Red Sox. Why didn't they get Britton?
Maybe they're going to trade them to each other.
Right? This is the weirdest. Like, what's happening here?
Well, the Yankees already had their taste of Eovaldi, and
he
was great when he was on, but he was hurt. You know, he's hurt.
He does have the injury issue.
So he's gone from the Dodgers as a phenom that was one to watch to the Marlins, to the Yankees, to Tampa Bay, now to the Red Sox.
Yeah. He's a traveling guy.
Yeah.
The jet setter.
Frequent flyer miles.
He's going to catch up with Edwin Jackson at this rate.
He will.
Who started with the Dodgers.
Right. And the other trade that went down, I guess, late last night, too, was the closer. I don't remember his first name.
Yeah, Say Wong.
Say Wong. Oh.
Yeah, the final boss.
Used to be with the Cardinals, right?
Used to be with the Cardinals, yeah.
On to the Rockies.
Had that great first season, then blew up in the second season, and then went to the Blue Jays and has been doing very well for them. But this, the Blue Jays are another team. You need to start selling off pieces. I think it's the other reason why the Red Sox and Yankees are going to cruise to the playoffs is because, I mean, now you have the Rays selling off pieces. the Orioles selling off pieces and the Blue Jays selling off pieces. These are questionable teams to begin with. And, well, I mean, the Orioles are bad, but these are going to be even worse. Like, I was watching the Orioles play the Red Sox, and they did win a game, but this is a bad, bad baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bad baseball team. And they're just getting worse by trading off. But that's what they need to do. Like, what's wrong? What's the difference between losing 100 games and losing 105 games?
Yeah.
Nothing.
As long as you're reaping the rewards of the trades.
Yeah, and they got some nice pieces for Zach Britton. Not a top 100 prospect or anything, but mm-hmm. a nice array. They're going for a little of that quantity and some high floors, not mm-hmm. necessarily high ceilings.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I still feel that the trade they got from the Dodgers was exceptional.
Yeah, they're not. I don't even know if you can you go below rebuilding. Is there a step below rebuilding?
I mean, there's Astros, man, and look at them now. The Astros were well below rebuilding. That's like
seasons.
A new statistic, right? Like instead of wins above replacement, it's wins below rebuilding.
Yeah.
What's their WBR? What's the Orioles' WR? It's got to be at least a 10 or a 12.
Yeah, because the Houston lost 100 games three seasons in a row, right?
Yeah.
But then turned it around. Cubs, too. It seems like a distant memory. Fans are completely happy, and both organizations have won the World Series in the last few years.
That's right.
So it's worth it. So, but if everybody's doing it, statistically, there's no way that all these teams that do go through a rebuild are going to win a World Series in 3 to 5 years.
That's true. That's true. It is a gamble in itself. Though mm-hmm. if you just get enough pieces, like if you look at like the Padres and the Braves over the last, like they mm-hmm. were not very good, but they have just so many pieces that even if some of them flame out, like then here comes the other one that didn't flame out.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to watch the Orioles to see if they can, start that building process to greatness.
But this is the thing. The Orioles are going to drive other teams' fans crazy the rest of the year because anytime they win, it's going to be like, oh, my God, people are going to lose their minds. Or if they win like 2 out of 3 against a team,
Be
like, these are the games you're supposed to win. I've never seen a baseball season in my life.
And because you play in division in the last month of the season, both the Red Sox and the Yankees could run into that situation where they lose 2 or 3 games in a row to the Orioles, by sheer luck.
Right.
And it upsets the nature of the universe.
Yes.
It would be interesting. No, it's going to come down to in September baseball is going to be who gets the wild card of those two teams.
Right.
Right now the Orioles or the Red Sox seem to be stretching it out and dominating.
Yes.
But
they'll slump. That's how baseball works. Slump.
That's how it works.
The question is for the Yankees is they're in the middle of a weird slump, and then they brought back Gary Sanchez maybe a little too early from his hamstring injury, and then they lost a game because he didn't hustle down the first baseline. But was he not hustling because he's not hustling, or was he not hustling because he doesn't want to blow out his hamstring? And then it turns out maybe he did kind of hurt his hamstring a little bit, but then he did actually lose the game. And maybe he has an attitude problem. And as a Red Sox fan, I think it's delightful. But as a baseball fan, like I just want the Yankees to crush home runs.
Yeah.
They'll just stack up that lineup and just crush home runs.
Well, the Sanchez, I don't know if it was the same game. I think it was. Not necessarily running out which I thought he's not a fast guy anyway. He wasn't going to blaze a trail down the line.
Yeah, but stopped for coffee on the way out of the batter's box. I think that was probably not a good hustle move.
But what was worse, though, was the pass ball earlier in the game.
Yeah, but he's always going to have pass balls.
But did you see what happened, though? It blocked it out in front of him. He started jogging. The guy scored from second.
Yeah.
Because he was lollygagging after the ball.
But was he lollygagging or was he golly-gagging? Was he golly-gagging? Was he galili? Was he Lucas Giolito-ing? Or was he a heavyset guy with bad hamstring?
Could be the hamstring. And now he's back on the DL.
And strangely, the team is like, oh, yeah, no, he's going to be out till the end of August, maybe September. Like, we've decided how long his hamstring is going to take to heal. It feels disciplinary, if you ask me.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a tad.
Yeah. Don't be surprised if the union steps in and is like, "Hey guys, actually, that's not how doctors work."
No, yeah, it's like he's verbally injured his hamstring. So we talked about the trades. We talked about Syndergaard. We talked about
Let's
Sanchez.
Talk about the Nationals.
Yeah, the Nationals. Still treading water, but we got Bryce Harper. What's this with the home run derby ball thing?
Okay, so the league was going to auction off his winning home run derby ball, and it was up, you know, it was on, you know, for charity or whatever, and it was up to like $8,000 or whatever, and they decided to pull the auction and give it to Bryce Harper, which is good because it might be the only, you know, trophy ball that he will ever have in his life.
Oh, I thought it was because there was a scandalous, tainted.
I was gonna say, right? Like
victories, like
right?
Yeah,
like
we don't want that out there.
He wants to commemorate the time he cheated in the home run derby with his dad.
Thanks, Dad. This is for you.
I'm just saying, you have to wait for the balls to land before you can throw the next one, Papa Harper. Stop throwing them so inside. You could tell they were just gonna be like, this was gonna ruin Thanksgiving if this dad didn't start throwing them down the middle.
No, because there was a point there where he was, the pitches were not in the right spot. And then
at
he
all.
Hit, what, like 7 or 8 in a row, which was at the fast clip.
Yeah.
Because the balls were not landing before they hit him.
I mean, he had like 2 or 3 in the air at one time. Okay, maybe not.
And in other Nationals news, Steven Strasburg in his first start back, having a little bit of issues. And Matt Scherzer wants to have a little chat with him in the dugout, and they blow up on each other.
Yeah, and now Strasburg's on the DL, so maybe this is another thing where, like, you know, it's punitive more than anything else. No, I'm sure Strasburg wants to pitch and probably was telling people he was ready and wasn't actually ready and then went out there and crapped the bed, and Scherzer wasn't having it. But here's the thing, John. I'm now on the John Sumple train. I think they should trade Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
I think this team has fallen apart. Now, look. Let's just for a minute here. Who do you trade Bryce Harper to right now? Who wants him for 3 months?
The Cubs. That would be my guess.
Maybe the Cubs, right?
Yeah.
The Brewers don't want him. Who else is in contention? The Cardinals. Cardinals might. They always seem sort of full in the outfield. Indians
definitely.
Oh, whoa, John, I did it. The Indians, my dude.
Yeah, I think the Indians still are they're not a mystery team. I think they are
a mystery team.
They could be one of the teams that nobody wants to play.
I cannot figure out this team at all, but if you put Bryce Harper in right field and stop worrying about Tyler Naquin and Lonnie Chisenhall and all of that nonsense, and I'm liking this idea, John. Bryce Harper to the Indians.
The Indians have some cupboard space to.
They got a little bit of talent. They got stuff that would be worth more to the Nationals than just the free agent free agent compensation draft pick.
Right. No, it's gonna. I think not that they're gonna blow up that team. That they're not doing that. They have too much talent in that organization.
Yeah.
Their big thing is, you know, are they still in the Realmuto trade sweepstakes, and are they willing to add on versus subtract with Harper? That's the big question. But they, like we talked about last week, it's more a matter of how they get out of the gate, and they haven't gotten out of the gate in the second half. They're still stumbling and bumbling.
And it just happens sometimes, you know? Like, sometimes a team has, like, all the things on paper, and they go out there and they play, and then they stumble, and then it's like, oh, no, no, then they get back on track, and then other times they just don't get back on track.
But that's one of those things with the team that they have. That team is capable of, you know, running 20 games.
Yeah. But are they, with the pitching staff that they currently have of Max Scherzer and Gio Gonzalez, because they don't have Strasburg, Rourke has been terrible, and then they've just been throwing out randos for the fifth starter. Like, is that really a team that can win 20 games? I don't think so.
The Pirates won 11.
Yeah, but their pitching staff has been on point. Jameson Taillon seems to have figured out whatever was going on earlier in the season. He's like throwing 96 with location. He's awesome.
Yeah, so the Pirates, did the Pirates sustain this?
No, of course they don't. Because that's how baseball
works.
It's
just one of those streaks.
Yeah, it's just one of those streaks. And then it'll be like, oh, like the Reds had like over 35 games were like 20-15. Like, wow, that's really cool. If they did that for a whole season, they'd be in the playoffs. But again, it's harder to do it over a whole season than for 35 games. And then they'll lose 10 games in a row, just like the Tigers did earlier. That's what bad teams do. They win games and things fall their way. They get, you know, weird traveling things. The other team comes in and they're a little burned out from the previous series or from the travel or from whatever. Ball bounces a few different ways. You know, the baseball stuff.
Right.
All the things that make baseball great.
Speaking of Moneyball, do you think the A's are for real?
I think they're for real-ish. I mean, they have a really solid offense, and I think that their pitching is – their bullpen is very good. You know, and they that was one thing coming into the season that they had built was a good bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
It started off shaky, but it's really settled down to being fairly dominant. And then it's just a question of getting to the bullpen. But the offense and the defense is much better than the A's teams that have been run out there over the last decade. The defense has been kind of shoddy, but this is a good defensive team.
Well, they were losing to Texas 9-1 the other night and won 13-10.
Yeah.
Like, whoa. That's some offense they're putting up.
Missed that one extra point on that second touchdown.
Yeah. Right. So another feel-good story for the year is Daniel Ponce de Leon.
Right.
Cardinals player promoted, wondering, you know, if he would ever play again after getting a rocket off of his forehead.
Right. Brain damage or brain hemorrhage or whatever.
Or died. He said the surgery kind of saved his life. Wondered if he'd ever pitch again. Comes up for a cup of coffee, already back down in the minors, but his outing was 7 innings, no hit ball.
You really can't do much better than that. Though I thought it was funny that, not funny, it was bad, I guess, that the bullpen then came up and the next pitcher gave up a hit. And then the next pitcher after that was Bud Norris, and he wound up giving up a home run and then three base runners and lost the game. It's
right. The story
so
could
bizarre.
Have ended so much better.
Yeah, it's so bizarre ending. About baseball that, like, you know, 7 no-hit innings in his major league debut, and like, well, the team lost. And couldn't happen to a better guy, though, Bud Norris. Couldn't happen. I guess maybe he was just hazing the rookie. Maybe that's what he was doing. Like he was like, ha ha, you think you have your first win. Ha ha. Right. Ha ha, Ponce de Leon.
Speaking of pitching, Anthony Rizzo takes the mound.
Yeah. The Cubs are having a lot of position players pitch. I'm not sure I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, because anything could happen in those situations where, you know, an injury occurs because it's just not part of your normal function.
Yes.
Yeah, especially totally a high bizarre. Value. Usually it's a, you know, scrub outfielder.
Right.
Like the fourth outfielder that winds up doing mop-up duty.
Right.
Why is a highly
utility
paid,
guy?
Yeah. Why is a highly paid player doing that?
Joe Madden, man.
He just wants to give everybody a chance.
Live by the Joe Madden, die by the Joe Madden.
It is interesting, though, too, the Cubs, 2 years removed from winning the World Series. No one's talking about them.
Yeah. They're in first, though, now, right?
And, yeah, they are. But it's just kind of like, the Cubs,
I think the thing is, like, other than Javi Baez, like, who's sexy on this team? I mean, I know Chris Bryant has the blue eyes and all that stuff, and he's a dreamboat. But, like, look at his numbers. Where are the home runs? We thought this guy was going to be, like, 30, 40 home runs every year. You know what they need to do? Steroids.
Bryce Harper.
Let's crank it up.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that's what the Cubs need is another underperforming superstar. Yes.
Just for a couple months. Yeah, it's just really, I the more I'm thinking about this too, the Indians thing makes a lot of sense because I think the Indians are looking at this like, you know, we're not doing as good as we should considering the division that we're in, but we know we've got a really good team. Mm-hmm. People are probably going to take us for granted going into the postseason. Yeah, let's give it a shot because that could be the one player, you know, they could be one player away from, you know, getting it over the finish line.
Yeah.
Going to be interesting.
No, John, I'm a genius.
You are.
Yeah, no, this is the team. They should make this move. And you know what? The Nationals, it's just not your year this year. The Phillies overperformed. The Braves overperformed. You were underperforming in almost every category. Just sell off a couple pieces, build up the farm system a little more, like get close to ready pitch, like get Tristan McKenzie. Tristan McKenzie for Bryce Harper would be a good trade. He's a top 70, top 60 prospect.
anybody that they get for Harper. They don't need a haul. He's gone in any way. Yeah. You know, unless they are giving up too soon.
Yeah, but it's not like they get nothing, right? Like they if they keep Harper through the end of the year and then he leaves as a free agent, they do get compensation. Right? They get a supplemental draft pick in the first round or something like that, or after the first round. Because he's going to get a big contract no matter what. Well, that might be your idea about him doing a 1-year deal is starting to sound a little bit more realistic, though. He's still walking and getting home runs. He's just not getting any other hits, Bryce Harper. So.
Yeah, there seems to have been, speaking of the home runs thing, there seems to be everything slowing down, except for J.D. Martinez.
Right.
The rest of baseball seems to be slowing down. We're not seeing as many home runs.
Yeah, well, Trout got 2 last night. I think it's just one of those weird things where it's just kind of like a league slump. You'll see it. Yeah, you'll see it all get fired up again. You saw the Red Sox last night got rained out, but they had already hit like 3 or 4 home runs.
Yeah, I heard they were a little agitated that they hadn't started the game since they knew it was going to be drenched out.
The thing is, the problem is they couldn't play past, I think the rain stopped around 10-ish, but they had only done like whatever, 2 innings, and because they had to travel the next day and play the next day, they couldn't stay up. There's rules about like when innings can start.
That's a players association thing. I mean, that's, you know, can't blame.
So they can complain to the players association about that, but you know, whatever, they'll just have to get those home runs back and against the Orioles later in the year. It's not like it's going to be harder to beat the Orioles later in the year.
So we were talking about the steaming pile of Mets, Yoenis Cespedes out for the season and doing a lot of self-diagnosis on his heel.
Oh, I didn't know about the self-diagnosis. What's that? I heard he was getting surgery on his heels. And...
Oh, he suggested, unbeknownst to management, that he was considering surgery. And they were like, what is this? So I don't know if it was self-diagnosis, but he obviously had been talking to somebody or, you know, doing a little Google research.
Okay, right. Yeah, I remember that.
He's just like saying,
he's on WebMD.
I'm considering surgery for this bone calcification thing going on.
And, I mean, to be fair to Yoenis Cespedes, would you trust the Mets doctors? I would not trust the Mets doctors.
Yeah, but that's just another indicator of the season and how things have just, you know, gone completely down the toilet for the Mets.
Yeah.
In a season, they start out 11-1, and it was all this excitement with the starting pitching being back together and healthy, and this is what we're going to see, reap the rewards, and everything just goes haywire. Poor Mets fans.
Yeah. Everything went bad. Ever since I moved back to New York, it just...
And you did go to a game, too, didn't you?
I have, and I'm supposed to go next week or the week after, depending on the weather. So, yeah. I'll still go. Baseball games are amazing, even if it's the unamazing Mets.
So, this viral video of the fan in Chicago.
Yeah, did you see that one?
Snagging the foul ball from the kid. Lots of hullabaloo around the video.
There was backlash, and then there was backlash to the backlash. And then there was backlash to the backlash to the backlash, John.
And the backlash is this kid's kind of a stinker.
Well, the first of all, it's apparently the kid had already gotten a ball in the game, right? Mm-hmm. So the video is, for those who haven't seen the video, they can go to the baseball memes.
On the Facebook, yep.
On the Facebook and check out our, we have the video there. So someone from the Cubs tosses his kid a ball, and he misses it. Which, first of all, let's see some hustle, friend. Okay? I don't care if you're 6.
Yeah. Dive for it. Show some spunk.
And then the guy behind him, like, all of a sudden had a ball at his feet and just picked it up and gave it to his wife or girlfriend, and they were just completely missing the fact that this ball had been tossed to this kid. Now, did the kid need another ball? No. It turns out he'd already gotten 1 or 2 earlier in the game. But it makes this guy look like a total jerk, which, first of all, he's not a total jerk because he had apparently gotten balls for other kids. And so that was like the backlash to the backlash, because it was like, oh, no, he's a good guy. He's helped get balls for other kids. And then it's like, OK, yeah, but in this video, here is a ball being tossed to a kid and he did not let the kid have it. That's
right. And the way he's like laughing and sits back in his seat, it just, he looks like a bad guy.
Well, he looks like a total jerk.
Yeah.
But it turns out
turned
he's
into
just
such
a
huge ordeal where people were vouching for him. Then he went out. He was on the local news talking about it just to clarify the whole situation that he's not a bad guy. He didn't get Bartman for that, for doing
that. In this day and age, he better get on the local news and get out in front of it. And he better have people vouch for it. Otherwise, he's going to lose his job. He's going to lose his family.
Could be impeached.
He could be impeached. Well, unless he's the president.
Good to be an American.
Haven't had a good impeachment in a while, you know?
Yeah, we need one. We need something to rile things up. So tell me more about this story about Derek Jeter. I haven't heard anything about this. So a former Yankee teammate says that Jeter was a stingy gambler?
Okay, so not stingy, but petty. So Phil Hughes, right?
Uh-huh. Pitcher.
Was doing an interview, and it was a former teammate of Derek Jeter. And he said that, so what happened was Derek Jeter would, like, if he lost like a $100 bet, which, first of all, this was before gambling was legal in the state of New York. So let's be careful about allegedly. These are alleged events. But then Jeter would pay it off with $100 in pennies.
That's awesome. I love that.
I mean, I guess Hughes should be lucky he didn't get a gift basket, but hey-o.
He woke up the next morning going, what? What's this gift basket?
I didn't want to win. You don't want to lose with Jeter, and you don't want to win with Jeter.
No.
And you certainly don't want to score with Jeter.
Right, unless you want a gift basket.
Yeah.
I think there are women out there who were very good. I'm sure there are women out there who engaged in carnal knowledge with him just for the purpose of getting the gift basket.
When I first saw this headline, John, I thought it said that Derek Jeter was the prettiest gambler. I was like, yeah, he is pretty good looking.
He's a good looking guy.
Yeah, I could see that.
So Billy Butler has traded in his major league spikes for the softball variety, and he's tearing it up.
Well, you know, he's a multimillionaire, right? And I don't know if he's trying to get back in the game or whatever, but like he's taking on his local softball league, and he's just crushing the ball. He's killing it.
As I would hope
he would.
You
ever play softball, John? Organized?
Sure did. For many years.
Yeah. Did you ever play with former... we played with former minor leaguers in our leagues.
I played with some people who, you know, live and breathe and thought they were...
Right.
You know, professional players, and then, you know, spikes high, slides into second
base. Right. The former players are always the most aggro. Like, they're always the most like, oh, my God, he gets the best... Like, all right.
Yeah, the hottest tempers, they yell the loudest, they get on. I mean, I used to play in co-ed leagues, and they would get on the female players.
Yeah, like, why not?
Dude,
hey,
dial it down.
They don't see male and female. They're not being sexist,
no.
John.
No, it's about winning.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw some, there's a park a couple blocks from where I live, and they have, it's whatever, three baseball diamonds sort of intermingled. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was watching this co-ed game while I was breezing through with doing a dog walk. And I'm going to tell you, John, I don't think these people were having fun with the game of softball. It was very intense.
Yeah, very
Everyone
competitive.
Was very intense. And I thought, you know, when I was in L.A., it was pretty casual. But we had sort of like the weekend league. And it was like, well, you know, these guys, they never really played softball before, but they want to get together and sneak a few beers into the stands. These guys were all like there were scouts in the stands. Right. Like there's money on the line.
Yeah, we played in a co-ed league once where we made it to the playoffs, and there was a team that was undefeated, and we played them. I think we won our first game. We played them in the semifinal round, and they destroyed us because they were they were like it was so serious.
Right.
And our whole mantra was everybody plays, we're here to have fun. Yeah. We had a good team, but we didn't take it seriously. It was just something to do. It was fun. These guys it was all about winning. It was too intense.
Yeah. Look, obviously winning is more fun than losing.
It was fun. Yeah. I was also played on teams where we didn't win a game the entire season. So
right.
Yeah. But still getting out there and having fun. But to take it that seriously, I was never into it that much.
Yeah.
So yeah. Billy Butler.
Killing it. But he's in a league where they have that thing where you can't hit X amount more home runs than the other team Otherwise, the home runs just become outs.
That sucks.
Yeah, we were in a league. I played in a league like that once. It's good. It keeps, because sometimes teams don't have all the sluggers, and then the other team does, and that makes the sluggers have to hit line drives, I guess, for lack of it. But it's the funniest thing in the world to see like a 6'5" ripped 220 dude slug a home run and just like, you're out. like you know, the inside him, he is destroying himself.
Right. It's like, why swinging for the fences, dude? Yeah, and I could see in those intense leagues, like, he's after he hits a home run for an out, they're in the dugout going, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Get line drives, man. Go the opposite way.
Look for the outside pitch and just drive it. Home runs? This is bullshit. Pops a beer. Beats his wife.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, drinking alcohol at these parks are illegal, John.
Okay.
Not, that doesn't stop people, but it certainly it is
illegal. Moving on. Let's see. Orioles. Wasn't there another story earlier this season of players being stuck in an elevator? Is this a
thing
now? I don't
know. I just feel like this is like metaphor season for baseball. Yes. Like, the Mets with their garbage fires and their choking vendors, and the Orioles getting stuck in the elevator. I have to assume the elevator was going down.
and maybe it stopped just in time.
Yeah, right?
Before
the complete
demise.
These players got stuck. I think it was four or five players stuck in a freight elevator for 30 minutes.
That's fine. There's a
funny video of like Chris Davis trying to open the doors. I mean, of course he struck out, right?
Now, I can imagine if it was, it would have been great video if one of the players was afraid, you know, of that whole idea of being confined space and freaking out.
That would have been hilarious.
It would have been hilarious for us. Not
laughing
for him,
at people's fears and weaknesses is really the best thing that America has going right now.
It's good comedy. This is a feel-good story. A GoFundMe story about the Nationals assistant GM.
Yeah, it's a weird story. So he has leukemia and he started a GoFundMe.
Oh, he started it. He started his own. Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, his family did to cover medical costs. And I thought two things. One, okay, great. People rally around this guy and help him out. And second of all, like, why are the Nationals not just paying for this?
Right. Because they're saving up money for Bryce Harper.
Or maybe they're still trying to pay off Matt Wieters.
could be.
But you're telling me this team that's worth $1 billion can't set aside like $60,000 to help this guy out?
Yeah.
A little weird.
You think.
Maybe the Nationals' problems are systemic and are not just fluky baseball things.
Yeah, it is kind of weird when you think about it. You know, this happens all the time, but when someone's connected to an organization which is flush with cash.
Yeah.
You'd think,
and it's pretty high up. Assistant GM is.
What would be worse though, if you go on the GoFundMe page and there's a donation from the Washington Nationals for $100. I'm not meaning to laugh and make light of leukemia, but it's the story.
Yeah.
So it looks like the Tim Tebow experiment has come to an end, at least for this season.
Right. So. Classic Mets, right? We're just peppered. Well, yeah, poor Mets. So the Mets signed Tim Tebow thinking like, maybe it'll be something, but maybe it'll sell a lot of tickets, right? And in the worst case scenario, if they have a bad season, they can call up Tim Tebow to Citi Field and run him out there and sell an extra, you know, 1,000 tickets, 2,000 tickets a game and, you know, just be a spectacle for all to watch. He was actually having a pretty good run at AA. And then broke the hamate bone in his right hand.
Which is never a good thing.
Now, John, no truth to the rumor that this was actually stigmata.
was he Tebowing?
But it's his cross to bear.
The jokes are easy when it...
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
When it comes to his religious affiliations.
And I don't mean to make fun of his religious affiliations at all.
But he's 27, 28, 29?
Right. Which also sort of explains his success at AA.
Like, right.
Basically the oldest guy there, yeah.
Right.
Like, he's buying beer for everyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That wraps headlines. Now we get to move into starting nine.
Let's do it.
And last week it was all about Tom Cruise. This week it's all about Pooh Bear.
Winnie the Pooh movie's coming out.
Yeah. Nine Pretty players excited. With children's story names.
Yes.
This should be fun.
Yeah, so first, right off the bat, easy, Albert Winnie the Pooh holes.
Okay.
Chad Green Eggs and Ham.
There you go.
Simple stuff. Charlotte's Weblington Castillo.
That's a good one. Weblington.
Nolan Where the Wild Things Are Renato.
That's awesome. Love it.
Chris the Cat in the Hatcher.
These are fun.
Yeah, these are good. This was a good time.
You could have kept going with this one.
Yeah, no, you could just go for days with this one. Good night, Max Moonsea.
Max Moonsea.
Breakout year for him, by the way.
Yeah.
And looks like it might be sustainable. What a great pickup by the Dodgers. This is the second year in a row they did this with Chris Taylor and then with Max Muncy.
So the A's give up on Muncy. The Mariners give up on Taylor and they're superstars.
But here's the thing. When you have the Dodgers and you have, what, eight general managers working for the team.
Right.
And all of the financial resources, because it's an unlimited amount of money they can pour into, you know, basically R&D, right? Mm-hmm. Scouting and all that stuff. Like, this is what you get. You get Max Muncy and you get Chris Taylor.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that they were rejects.
Yeah.
And those are the situations where the GMs are from the former teams are like, how did we miss this?
Yeah, that's rough. It's rough when someone goes away like that. I mean, that's the big fear with trades, right? When you're trading someone who's underperforming, is that like, ugh, maybe they're going to go somewhere and perform or overperform.
Right. It's just like with relationships.
It is, right? I don't want to break up with her.
I don't want to break up. She might have fun with somebody else.
And then you just get to the point where it's just like, you know what? I don't care. She's going to wind up on the DL anyway. So she can be someone else's problem.
Right.
Trade her to the Mets. That's the way she's guaranteed not to perform up to expectations.
More starting nine?
Yeah, I got a couple more here. The Michael Givens tree.
Oh, very good.
Right?
A little Shel Silverstein.
Right? How about this? Going to get a little Raoul Dahl? Dahl? The Tommy Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Nice.
Okay, and this one, we're going to get a little fancy here. I got to see if I can get it right, though. Okay, Charlie Blackman and the Chocolate Glaber Factores.
Double. Wow.
Double. And now sit down for this one, John. The Sandy Leon, the Christian Yelwich, and the Jason Hay Wardrobe.
Wow. That's a first.
That's a triple.
That's a triple.
That's a triple Lindy. Boom.
Wow. That's awesome. Oh, that was great. A double and a triple.
Yeah. For the kids, John.
That was a strong ending.
For the kids.
That was awesome.
Also, a little screenwriting lesson there for those who are following along. You build it up. You start off simple. You establish the groundwork. You establish a reality for the viewer or reader. And then you escalate it. Then halfway through, you do a reversal. Then you bring the big guns at the end.
There you go. You heard it here first. Baseball, politics, pop culture, screenwriting.
Screenwriting.
There you have it. So let's do around the horn. Who's buying, who's selling?
I'm going to
whip through every team here, and you're going to give us the dealio.
Yeah.
Are the Braves buying or selling?
They should be buying. Not a lot, but they should be buying. They should buy a third baseman.
And these are pretty, should be pretty, well, except for the Nationals. That's kind of a seesaw, but most of these are pretty cut and dry. Mets?
Right. Sellers. They've already started selling, and they should sell anything else that they can sell.
And they'll probably get rid of DeGrom and Syndergaard and get a couple of bags of balls and, a hot dog
vendor.
I think
they could trade Wheeler or Matz and get something, but they can't trade Syndergaard. And, they will, this is New York, man. People will lose their minds here over those two guys.
And maybe, the commissioner would step in and say that's not in the best interest of baseball.
Well, also, look how long it took them to trade Matt Harvey. because the city loved him so much, they just couldn't get rid of him.
They didn't know how to quit the fans. Yeah, they had to wait for the fans to turn on
Basically, they had to wait. Exactly.
Yeah. Phillies.
They should be buyers. They should get themselves a little extra, but they should get something, which they haven't yet, right? They haven't. They haven't yet.
Nationals.
I'm going to say they should sell. In the last week, I've taken a look at it, and I don't think that they should sell. It sounds so weird because they were such a good team last year, five or six in a row. And they got to sell. Yeah.
Marlins.
I mean, if they have anything to sell, they should sell. I think Dan Straley is something, maybe a little salary relief.
Second rider has also been talked about. Barclaw has been talked about.
That's right. I've seen a couple of fantasy leagues I'm in, people have been picking up Steckenrider thinking that Barraclough is going to get traded.
Yeah. But both have been talked about. The Red Sox were talking about Steckenrider.
I mean, here's the thing. If you're the Marlins, trade your relief pitchers because next year they could be terrible. Just look at the Marlins.
But still, they're I think they have been a surprise. Their run differential is among the worst in baseball, but they're winning games that I think a lot of people never thought they would. They're not going to lose 100 games, which is going to be a shocker, unless they really tank. And maybe if they get rid of, you know,
I mean, I never thought they were going to lose 100 games.
Oh, I thought they were. They looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
What's next?
Red Sox. Buyers, obviously.
Yeah. Yankees. Buyers. Blue Jays?
Sellers. Yeah, definitely sellers.
So Donaldson gets traded or no?
I mean, he has to come back and show he's healthy, right? And, like, he's close, they say. And he's going to be worth something. But, oof.
The Orioles and Rays have both established that they're sellers.
Yeah, they're both sellers. Yeah.
Both sellers. So here's one. Pirates.
The Pirates should do what they always do when they're kind of okay, and that is buy a little piece, but don't give away anything of value.
Or just stand pat, which is something they...
Well, but sometimes they'll pick up like a bench bat or like a lefty reliever that, you know, for a player. They've never lost one of those trades, and they've never really... I mean, I guess they picked up Ivan Nova.
Yeah.
That was a nice pickup for them, Ivan Nova, when they got him from the Yankees, because the Yankees were like, ugh, we can't deal with him. He just keeps giving up home runs, and then he went over to the Pirates, and they sort of fixed the home run issue. So, which means he was probably tipping pitches or something, or his pitch mix was off or whatever. Anyway, but little buyers.
Cardinals?
Buyers.
Cubs?
Buyers. Speaking of the Cubs, I actually thought they were going to get Britton. I actually thought that would have been a really nice place for him to land, because he would just take over the closer role.
Mm-hmm.
For the, you know, Morrow could just be what he was for the Dodgers last year, was a super dominant eighth inning guy and then the backup closer. But the Cubs don't need relievers, I guess, because Anthony Rizzo?
Right. They've got
Anthony Rizzo? Yeah. Indeed. All right, good.
How about the Brewers?
The Brewers should be buyers. I don't know exactly what they should buy. Their offense seems kind of okay, but maybe they need a second baseman. Like, if they could get Dozier from the... the Twins, that would be a really nice upgrade for them.
But I think they were all in on the Manny Machado sweepstakes and fell short. So that was a recalibrate moment for them.
Yeah.
Reds. The Sellers. Surging Reds.
Reds, sell. Anything that you can sell.
A good young team, though.
I mean, there's a nice little core there and Joey Votto. Eugenio Suarez single-handedly destroying the Cardinals pitching staff.
Yeah.
He's really turned into quite a player.
Yeah. Let's move over to the American League West, Astros.
Buyers. They were in on Britton, apparently. They need another relief pitcher, like really bad.
Yeah. They could be in the Steckenrider and or Barraclough.
Yeah.
Sweepstakes. Angels.
They should be sellers. They won't be buyers. They'll probably just stand pat, but they should be sellers. They're far enough out, and things have fallen apart enough that they should see if they can get something for the, whatever. Wait a minute. You know what? They actually don't have anything to sell. Because they're going to think they're you know, they have Trout, so they think they'll be into it next in it next year. So they probably don't have anything. I mean, maybe someone wants to take Pujols. I don't know.
No.
Just 14 more years at $38 million each year. No big deal.
The Rangers.
Sellers, definitely. Probably get rid of Cole Hamels.
Cole Hamels.
I heard Keona Kela is on the block. Really? Which I mean, if you look at the logic of what Brad Hand got the Padres and how volatile closers are and relievers are, and you feel you're kind of that far away, then yeah, trade him. Mm-hmm. Trade him to, you know, trade him with the Astros.
Yeah.
Astros got tons of prospects. You get a really nice haul back for Keona Kela.
Mm-hmm. How about the A's?
Yes, buyers.
Mariners?
I mean, I would say buyers, but really they have Cano coming back, 2 weeks into August.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have much to trade away, but
yeah,
maybe they can work out a deal to get a starter.
Dealing Jerry DePoto will come up with something.
Yeah, feels like he'll buy something.
Yeah, he has to. I mean, they need starting pitching.
Yeah, you
know, that's what they need.
It's like a trust fund kid at a mall. Like, they don't need right. anything, but they're going to buy something.
Right. Okay, NL West Padres.
Sell. I think they have a couple of pitchers still left to sell, so we'll see what they can get out on the market for those.
They're just restocking in a big way.
Yeah.
Dodgers.
Yes, buyers, of course. I think they need another reliever or two, right?
Well, the rest of the league, everybody's buyers because they're all in it.
Right.
Dodgers, Giants, Rockies, and D-backs are all going to be looking for pieces.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say those are all buyers. The rest of the Though, yeah, if I was the Giants, I wouldn't be. I would be doing at best what the Pirates did, which is like maybe you add a little piece that you think might be of some assistance.
But that's going to be an interesting division to watch because they're especially the last month, they're all going to be playing each other.
Right.
And they're all within five games of first place.
And it's baseball.
And it's baseball, yeah.
And who's in first place again, John?
That would be the Dodgers.
Right.
I think everybody in the next in the NL or AL Central.
It's like the opposite of the NL West.
Complete opposite. Indians are buying and everyone else selling. Well, Twins, what about the Twins? They've had a little minor resurgence, although they have a long way to go before sniffing a playoff spot. Do you think they make any moves to acquire?
I mean, no.
No. Well, if they get rid of Dozier, then that's pretty much seals the deal there.
Yeah, I just think that they're like I don't think they have enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that they're close. Like the other AL wildcard teams are so much better and so much further ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So far ahead of them. I would trade off Dozier. I would trade off anything that's not a free agent or that's a free agent at the end of the year.
Right.
But you know, maybe you can get, I don't know, a lottery ticket for Fernando Rodney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Rodney gets those saves, man. It's not always the prettiest thing, but he gets those saves.
Shooting arrows in the sky.
Yeah.
For somebody else. I think he plays for two teams a year, it seems.
Yeah, it does seem like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay, that wraps around the horn. Now let's head into extra innings or look outside the world of baseball. So, yeah, I was so surprised to see a Tour de France headline here, which is awesome. But that was quite the event the other day. Farmers protesting in rural agricultural France about economic conditions. And the police, in their effort to curb these protesting farmers who are throwing bales of hay across the road, used pepper spray. And guess what happened? One of the cops, in an effort to get these unruly farmers off the roadside, starts spraying pepper spray, but he's spraying it into the wind. And lo and behold, the wind is going back towards the peloton as they're riding through the area, and a dozen or so riders got pepper sprayed.
Yeah. No, it's great. First of all, this is how they should do. If they want people to watch cycling, this is the kind of stuff they need to add.
Right.
Pepper spray, jumps.
Spikes in the road.
Spikes in the road. random protesters throwing hay. Like, this should be encouraged. Can you imagine how many people would actually watch this event instead of just sort of you know, tangentially hearing about it every now and then.
I watch it every day.
I know you watch it every day, but you know what? Some people watch the Iditarod, John. Obviously, it happens, and there's video footage of it, but it doesn't mean that people in mass are watching it. Right. But you could turn this into the freaking Super Bowl if all you did is like, okay, good, they're coming up on the raccoons.
Well, it was about 7 or 8 years ago. There were tacks thrown out on the street by some
unruly
fans.
This is what
fans.
I'm talking about. And if at every stage they just had stuff like this,
obstacles,
okay,
right.
Ice, will Jean-Pierre be able to handle the
water,
pepper spray?
Axel grease.
I love it. Yeah.
That was fun.
Smoke screen. Let's do like all kinds of Spy Hunter type stuff. Yes.
Yeah, that would be fun. Would make it fun. It's like a video game. People would watch it. Yeah. So this, I didn't even hear about this. This is a surprise. James Gunn fired from Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Isn't this his baby?
It is his baby. But here's the deal. So the outrage mob got a hold of some old tweets that he had done jokes about child molestation and that sort of thing, right? So they're very offensive jokes, but they were back at a time when he was sort of like an offensive joke kind of,
offensive jokes were acceptable.
Right, and there was no problem. And he has actually had previously apologized for those jokes and had sort of been like, well, yeah, that was, I've become a better person and I don't do that stuff anymore. And true to his word, you can't find anything from him like that in the last 7 or 8 years. But 9, 10 years ago, he was doing these, edgelord type things. No pun intended for Star-Lord. But an edgelord is someone who's like online doing, stuff that they think is super edgy. Anyway, so Disney fired him because, of course, it became like, well, it's Disney.
Right. So they had no choice. Right.
So it's, but here's the thing. This was really just like retaliation for the Roseanne firing because it was like, well, she had a history. Well, you already knew the history. So there were a lot of similarities and, in a weird twist of fate, James Gunn had actually called for the firing of Roseanne.
Really?
Based on her. And now her comment was in the present. Her comment about Valerie Jarrett. But she apologized and she did all the things. And no one was like, okay, good. You get your job back. So it was kind of like flip back on Disney. Like, oh, if you're going to do that for Roseanne, then you have to do it for this pedophilia joke guy. Because you're Disney.
Right. They had no choice.
Anyway, I think it's all an ugliness that's, grown up in the last couple of years. And I think people should be allowed to apologize for past mistakes. And but it's a left versus right thing. And if the left comes up with this rule of if you think this way, you can, or you say these things, you can lose your job, then
they got to
adhere to it. They're setting the rules. Like don't set those rules. Like, let's think about it. Let's just think this through. Like, if you set this rule, and to me it's just hilarious when you see, and again, I don't think James Gunn should have lost his job, but like, if there was someone who should have lost his job, it's the guy who had previously called for someone else to lose their job.
Right.
Like, that's just the way the universe is supposed to work in my mind. Like, that's how it's supposed to work. Maybe if the second Guardians had been more successful, because it wasn't as successful as the first one, maybe that would have been part of it. But yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous to me. But at the same time, like, all right, those are the rules. I don't agree with the rules, but if those are the rules, then.
And you would think that all these high profile people would be getting out in front of these, their past by saying, right, I'm going to come out and I'm going to apologize for all the things that I've done wrong and said irresponsibly for the last 25 years.
Right.
Just so that I can clear the air and this doesn't come back to bite me.
Right.
And maybe this was, Josh Hader, setting a new trend. And, it's just crazy that this is the world that we live in. We've talked about this before, is that, back when we were kids, our relatives, they used to spew at what would be perceived hate language today. But it was just part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very sensitive world in which we live.
It is very sensitive. And it's definitely making interactions with people better, I think. No, I don't think that at all, John.
Okay, next story. It's a sad story.
Yeah.
Demi Lovato, a little heroin overdose, which
heroin.
Yeah, that just was the surprise. I know she has addiction. She's talked about addiction issues in the past, but wow, heroin.
Yeah, she was a big cocaine person a few years back. Mm-hmm. Really sad. It was interesting about this. I was watching a commercial. She had some product line that she was selling, some clothing product line. And I couldn't help but notice she looked kind of unhealthy in it, which mm-hmm. I thought was weird because it was like sports gear, you know. I thought, oh, wow, I wonder what's going on. Anyway, 3 days later, she's OD'd and on heroin and is, you know, now she's awake and stable. And, of course, I'm sure she'll have people trying to get her to deal with this. But they've already been trying to deal with this. It's just a real tragedy. You know, I'm not mm-hmm. saying she's like a great talent or anything like that, like Philip Seymour Hoffman, who died of a heroin overdose.
Right.
But it's just a tragedy when anyone, you know, gets in it. It's such a, to me, this is where I feel like people's attention really should be in this country, is on the drug addiction problem.
Opioids.
That's opioids. You know, and opioids now are, you know, leading to people doing more heroin. Heroin has become more popular because a lot of opioids are basically like heroin light. And then they're like, oh, well, if I'm already doing heroin light, then I'll do some heroin.
Yeah, your doctors are prescribing you gateway drugs.
But it's just a real sad thing. And that's why the next story is what we're going to end with.
Yeah, Kraft Heinz recalling some Taco Bell cheese dip. And why is that?
Because of there's a botulism risk, John. Well, and here's I want
to no
have
one wants
comments.
To deal with that.
First of all, no one. This is why you go to Taco Bell,
right?
You don't go to Taco Bell because you want something healthy. You go to Taco Bell because maybe you're gonna get botulism. That's part of the thrill.
And does anybody ever go to Taco Bell willingly? Don't you go to Taco Bell when you're inebriated at 3 a.m?
Well, maybe that's when botulism is at its strongest potencies. 3 a.m.
Yeah, and usually there's two reasons to go. You're drunk or you want to clean your system out. That's usually the only reason.
Or you want to get dysentery.
Right.
You play for the Mets. You go to Taco Bell.
The Mets are serving up some serious Taco Bell cheese dip.
You know what? Next time I go to the Citi Field, I'm checking to see if they're serving Taco Bell there.
What's coming up next?
You won't believe what absolutely crazy, improbable, and ridiculous thing happens on the next episode of The Mets Show.